Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. And if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Bye-bye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.
For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show with me, Tim Fuel, back with a full complement of co-hosts. Oh no, there's a last minute pull out. I tell you, I could never have been a manager. It's bad enough being a host of this programme. Mr. Dave Anton on the sidelines found a very, very late fitness test here. But I am thankfully joined by my co-host, the man who brings life to FC United commentaries, Swampy. Good evening, Swampy.
Yes, good evening, Tim, and good evening to all the listeners out there.
And I was hoping that we could have you in the same bit of ether. It's been a few weeks where we've had to go a week with Swampy, a week with Dave, and we're trying to get you in the same internet room. It just didn't happen. But
it's not, no, unfortunately, illness for me over the last 3 or 4 weeks. I'm just recovering now, just about, but possibly during this show, you'll probably hear. Hopefully not as bad as a cough as I once had during the week, but not 100% recovered, but well enough to be on this show tonight. And if you're good enough to be on this show, I'm good enough to go to the pub a little later on.
You're allowed out.
I am indeed. Although, saying that, Tim, I must tell you, I went to a game of football on Tuesday night in the Northern Premier, First Division North. South Shields travelled down to Hyde. South Shields currently top of the division. And Hyde on the evening started in second spot. What a game of football. You've heard me on this show on many occasions not being an advocate of 3G pitches primarily, but Hyde, as I think I've mentioned on a few occasions, have got an absolutely wonderful new generation 3G, 4G pitch, which is so conducive to football. And 90 minutes of two teams playing what I can only describe is probably the best games of football I've seen probably in the last 4 or 5 years. Julio Arca, the ex-Argentinian, played at a World Cup under 20 levels, 37 years of age now, boss in the midfield, playing some great football, and Hyde, you know, from the heady days where they once were, getting back to that now. And what a game of football. It was so enjoyable. And nearly 800 people there watching on a Tuesday, which, you know, for Northern Premier Division 1 North attendances, I think is actually fantastic. But what a game, and really, really enjoyable. First game back as well, so I was really enjoying it.
Well, I went to watch our under-18s last night, and that game was played on the 3G pitch as well. And I was thinking back, you know, at least they haven't got to clean their boots. You know, that was always the worst part of this part of the season, wouldn't it? You know, getting the mud off.
There's that, but what you have nowadays is, and you don't have it at the highest ground, as we know, with a lot of football pitches of the 3G generation or the older ones, with that crumb. So what you tend to find is that you get home and you think everything's clean, and basically there's a trail of plastic pitch all around the house, and you're thinking, where did they come from?
This was our under-18s. They wouldn't have realised. Their mums probably have.
I've got to say the new generation, they're becoming so similar to grass. That game last night, we played the week before FC United against Hyde in the semi-final of the Manchester Premier Cup. It finished, I think, about -1, -2. That game would have been called off halfway through if it hadn't been on the 3G. Even though the 3G itself did suffer a little bit, it got a little bit slidey at one stage, but it's just conducive to really good football, and Hyde utilise that. We know Sutton do the same. That's why they're in that position they are this season. And if you get a really good quality, it's an added bonus, because most games are on, and obviously we know the financial benefits of being able to let other people use it 7 days a week.
Yeah, we obviously spoke to Paul Doswell last week about the Sutton 3G pitch. We'll hopefully talk to another manager shortly who's got a 3G pitch as well. And on the back of that conversation we had with Paul Doswell last week, having a conversation with somebody else off air this week about the fact, you know, Arsenal's pitch, a grass pitch, but it's got quite a lot of this plastic through it anyway, woven through it. So there's not a lot of difference now. And that's why you see these, if you do watch the Premier League, the pitches are greener than a farmer's field in the middle of spring. You know,
yeah, that is true.
The difference now, there's very little between a very good 4G pitch, 5G, I don't know, whatever they want to, however many G's they want to give them, and a grass pitch. They're very similar. Yeah, if you looked at their DNA,
they are nowadays. You're right. I'm just talking about green pitches. The greenest pitch I've ever seen was in the Champions League final in Moscow, Manchester United versus Chelsea, and the pitch actually was held at customs, and by the time it got to the ground, it was actually grey. So they actually sprayed it green. So it was a fluorescent green. And if you ever watch the game and you look at a couple of players and look at the grass stains on their white shorts, you'll see how fluorescent they are. And that was actually a fluorescent green pitch sprayed on the day of the game. As you say, last season, two seasons ago, I was hugely against 3G pitches. And this new generation, they're proving, even old fuddy-duddies like me, there is a place for them. I'm not saying that they should replace the traditional 3G, the traditional grass pitches, because I believe after we spoke a couple of weeks ago, that money should be invested in all football clubs to have great grass pitches. However, these are, at this moment in time, getting better and better and better.
Plenty of news to get through this week again. More points deductions, this time in the Isthmian League. Rule E10 for fielding a player ineligible due to automatic suspension, catching three clubs out. In the Premier, Metropolitan Police, having had their appeal dismissed, they've been docked the 3 points that they had gained by beating Folkestone Invicta back on the 7th of October. And in the North Division, Potters Bar Town have lost the 3 points they collected when they had beaten Norwich United on the 18th of November, and three deducted from Dereham Town as well from their win over Hornchurch on the 24th of October. For Met Police, that possibly puts paid to their playoff chase, and for Potters Bar and Dereham Town, it probably ends both of their dreams for automatic promotion and puts them under more pressure in a very, very tight playoff chase in that division. Managerial-wise, we always report on the manager's comings and goings. Craig Harrison has left cash-strapped Hartlepool United after another midweek defeat in the National League. And a bookie's favourite there, Paul Ince, to replace him, apparently. But the word on the street suggests that's just, a bookie's trying to collect some money, I think. Meanwhile, the club that beat Hartlepool in the week, FC Halifax, they've appointed Jamie Fullerton as their manager that they hope will keep them in the National League this season. The 3 points midweek helping them actually leapfrog over the top of Hartlepool, I think, in that table. Down at Hungerford Town, joint manager John Boardman and his assistant Gary McDonald, they've departed, which leaves just Ian Herring, the player manager, in sole charge as they try to stay in the National South. And in the Northern League, North Shields have appointed the management team led by Mark Nash, who were formerly at Whitley Bay. They've been appointed to take over at North Shields ahead of their game with Jarrow Roofing this weekend. Some sad news also this week that AFC Hornchurch manager Jim McFarlane has suffered a stroke. On a positive note, though, the club and family have reported that Jimmy is doing well in hospital. He's resting and he's enjoying all the calls of support from the world of non-league football all rallying around him. And hopefully he will be back on his feet again soon. And everybody at the show wish him well and a speedy recovery. On the playing front, it's the old heads that are making the headlines this week. Former Blackpool, QPR, West Ham and England winger Trevor Sinclair, he signed for Squires Gate in the North West Counties League, coming out of a 3-year retirement at 44 years of age after training with the club for a few weeks. And it could also mean that he'll play alongside his son Isaac, who made his own debut for the club last weekend. Meanwhile, at Redditch United, former Tamworth boss Andy Morrell, he's got his playing head back on in his scoring boots as well. He netted this week for the Southern League Premier outfits, playing under Tim Harris there. And the flaky future of clubs, that's taken a bit of a backseat this week, but it does appear that there may be the very last season of Thurrock FC. At the start of the season, I did speak to Chairman Tommy South there, and he was looking to sell and step down due to ill health. And without an obvious buyer or successor, it does appear that he's told manager Mark Stimson that this could be the final season for the club. Obviously, there's various potential options there, and we'll be trying to follow that over the coming weeks and let you know what we find out. On a better note, Dagenham and Redbridge's struggles should be helped by a fundraising game on Wednesday the 21st of March. They've got a strong West Ham United side coming down, hopefully, because the Hammers are without a competitive game for 3 weeks due to their scheduled opposition, Man United, being involved in the FA Cup. And there's also the international break, so it's hoped that a bumper crowd could get along and help swell the gate and income from the game, with West Ham bringing a decent strength side down. Okay, so let's get on with our guests. This weekend sees the last 16 of the FA Trophy and the FA Vase as clubs battle to take a step nearer non-league finals day at Wembley in May. In the Trophy, there is one National League tie as Leighton Orient take on Gateshead, and the potential glamour tie is Billericay Town hosting Wealdstone. But our attentions are drawn to a National League side who have been going about their business quietly but very successfully this season. Bromley entertained Spennymoor Town on Saturday as a welcome distraction from the National League, where they sit poised just outside the playoff spots. And I'm pleased to say manager Neil Smith joins us on the line to talk to us. Good evening, Neil.
Good evening.
Now, I say a welcome distraction, but with your current form, would you maybe prefer to keep up that league pressure and be concentrating on the league this weekend?
Well, I think for a team like and a club like Bromley to be in the quarterfinals of the FA Trophy, you know, we'd never turn that down, ever. You know, the league's vitally important, of course it is, but it's a brilliant trophy. You know, I managed to get to the final with Woking and just missed out on winning it. But, you know, for a club like Bromley, I think it'd be a fantastic achievement if we can get to those semi-finals.
Yeah, you dropped in that you played in the trophy. You didn't play at Wembley, did you?
I think it was yours the last game,
wasn't it?
Yeah.
Played at the old bowling ground at West Ham.
Upton Park. And the frightening thing was, if West Ham had won, they were going to do a lap of honour around there before the final. And unfortunately, Stephen Gerrard had other ideas and popped up and scored a late last-minute equaliser to then obviously go and win it afterwards. So It was a bad weekend.
so as a manager, is that still sort of that dream? That's what you still love to do. Tick it off. You know, I walked out at Wembley, led the team out of Wembley.
Obviously, you know, I wasn't lucky enough to play there because obviously most of the time it was sort of built up. Even when we got to the playoff final with Reading, that was at the Millennium Stadium. So missed out on it twice. So to have this, you know, third time lucky sort of thing, you'd like to make it all the way. But it's not for me, it's for the club, it's for the directors, the chairman, and especially the supporters. They've been brilliant all season. And to give them some sort of reward as a thank you from us as the playing staff and the management staff would be such an achievement for Bromley this season. But we know we've got a very tough game coming up against Spennymoor, who, you know, no doubt thinking exactly the same as we are. It will be tough, but we've got to make sure we're on it 100%.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken a lot this season about the North East being a hotbed of football, particularly this season, and, you know, Spennymoor Town, they're looking good for the playoffs in the National League North. What have you been able to find out about them? You've got a good scouting network, no doubt.
Yeah, they're going to be a tough side, physical. They've got a centre-forward, you know, quite tall as well. They're very direct, but, you know, we played Blythe early on in the cup, so, you know, we were a very good side as well, and even Workington in the first game on their pitch. You know, these are tough games, and the players will give nothing less than 100%. We know that. You know, we've had a lot of travelling on our way, and it's just nice to have a home draw. But, you know, we don't take anything for granted being at home. We know Spennymoor Town are a good side. They like to get forward, and they can score goals. So we're very wary of them, but obviously, going into it with a bit of form, although we lost at Tranmere the other week, we put up a good performance. So if we can keep that going, you know, hopefully we can get the result that we want.
Swampy, I think you've got a question.
Yeah, well, Neil, first and foremost, good luck on Saturday. Spennymoor, a team I know quite a lot about, currently in our division in the National League North. And Jason Aisley, as you say, as a manager and as a team, I think the one thing that they'll be looking at against you on Saturday is they'll be actually quite thankful it's at your place rather than at Spennymoor because of their current problems with the pitch.
Yeah, no, we Yeah, well, we saw the pitch from last, you know, they last played on it at home, and you know, we knew it was like a Workington pitch. You know, it was very, very soft underfoot and very heavy. So for their game to be called off as well on Tuesday probably did them a favour as well. But playing on the 3G will be a faster pitch, zippy. So, you know, hopefully we can play to our style and get it down and pass and move it quickly. But we know that they're going to have had a week off where we played against Aldershot midweek. So they're going to be the fresher team. But, you know, we've got some good players and hopefully they can turn up and produce on the day.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, have you seen quite a bit of Spennymoor then? Have you had your scouts looking at them? And obviously, we know
now. As soon as the draw come out, you know, we have people go and watch them, and they're all coming back and saying the same thing. You know, I think it's Taylor, the lad up front, very good. You know, good target man, and we've got to be wary of him. But obviously, we've got a few players at the moment that are scoring goals as well, and when we've got, you know, two or three that are just hitting a bit of form at the right time, and we've got to make sure that they're on it 100%.
Yeah, yeah, and it seems to me it's pretty one of the tie of the round, really. I mean, there's a lot of other great games, but I think two real footballing teams are going to go for it at each other, and I think it'll be a pacey, attractive game of football, and be one that I'll be looking forward to watching the highlights on Saturday night or Sunday morning.
Yeah, no. You know, we've got a style of play that we want to try and obviously implement, but we know other teams are going to try and prevent that as well. And, you know, being the team in the National League at the moment and doing well, you can't take anything for granted. You've seen the Wiggins against Man City and Rochdale against Tottenham. So, you know, it's a cup game. And I think where you are and placed in the league and what league you're in goes out the window. It's the 11 players and obviously including the subs that go in with the right attitude. That normally come out the winners.
You mentioned, you know, the goals and the last round in that replay, you won 7-1 at home against Workington. Yeah. Taking those chances from what I've seen, you know, the highlights packages and that of you this season, that's what you seem to be doing well. You seem to be putting those opportunities away rather than wasting too many chances, and that's helped you push you up the table and put you on the edge there.
That's right. You know, the last couple of games, we probably haven't taken our chances. We've created, we created a few against Tranmere and we created a few against Aldershot on Tuesday and we didn't take them. But, you know, I'd be very more concerned if we weren't creating the chances. And we are a team that like to get the ball forward. We like to, you know, create these chances and we just hope that, you know, someone's on the end of them. And, you know, Louis Dennis at the moment, he scored 18 goals in all competitions. So you hope he turns up. And obviously, but because it's spread around, you're not just relying on one player.
Yeah, and so obviously you said how important the trophy is, but how much of a priority is it? Because you are on the cusp of those playoffs. You know, is the club really, you know, looking to get into those playoffs and seeing how far you can go in the league as well?
Of course we are. You know, at the moment it's such a tough league. You know, there's so many clubs, even the ones, you know, like the. You know, the Epps fleets have now put a little run together. They're sort of looking at those playoff spaces. I think there's a couple of places still up for grabs. I think there's a few that have sort of gone beyond the reach of the mid-table ones. But because you've got that seventh place now, the sixth and seventh place, I think it's open right down to the 12th in the league. Yeah, we want to get in the playoffs. You know, before the season, I think everyone had us down as one of the favourites to get relegated. So for us to be sitting at eighth place just outside the playoffs is a massive achievement. But while we're in it, We want to keep going for it. I've got a small squad, but a tight squad, and we just hope that if we can stick together, we can achieve. You know, I want to achieve both, but you know, the league is your number one. But I'm not taking my eye off the FA Trophy. It's such a prestigious trophy. It's a non-league trophy that, you know, teams like Bromley can go and win, or at least get to the final. Whereas the FA Cup's always, you know, it's just getting to the third round and see who you pull out. So having that there and I just want to make it, you know, I want the season to go into May, you know, I really do. And if it's with the FA Trophy, then, you know, brilliant. If it's in the league, you know, again, absolutely astounded. But, you know, we'll take one game at a time, and the next game up is another massive one against Spennymoor Town, and we'll go in there giving them the utmost respect like we do with all the teams and making sure that we're prepared to the best of our ability.
Yeah, and back to the league. Last week we had Paul Doswell on, and he mentioned you on last week as like the dark horses for the playoffs. And then he also obviously spoke about the potential problem they might face with their 3G pitch. I suppose that affects you as well. I mean, is the club in a similar position of just going for it and then deal with the repercussions of whatever happens because you've got that 3G?
Absolutely. You know, I've spoken to the board and they've said that we're back us. If we get into the league, you know, it's beyond where we expected, but they'll back the management and the players. If it means we've got to rip the pitch up, we will. I find it very difficult when you look at the Rochdale pitch and Tottenham make a big fuss and they've had to, you know, redo the pitch. Would they have done that if that was just a league game? Mm. Probably not. And you see the state it was in against Millwall and you just think, having the 3G pitch down has not only made it a better surface for us to play on, but it's made it a community pitch. You know, our youth teams play on it, our Bromley ladies play on it. If that was grass, you wouldn't have had those many games on it. So the youth team would have to play somewhere else. The academy would play somewhere else. And it makes it, you know, a bit of a farcical when you want to be the hub of the community. You want to be the club that everybody comes to. You want to be able to generate your own revenue. And if you got into the league, you're going to get punished. And it's, you know, not just once for, you know, not being allowed to go up if you can't do it, but get relegated twice. And you think, you know, we're trying to make this a community-based club. We're trying to bring a revenue in that we can sustain so this club will never be in cash financial difficulties. And for doing that, you're going to get punished. And I think that's a bit harsh, but it was something we signed up to at the beginning of the season. And if the dream was to happen and we got promotion, then the board have said they'll back the club to go to the next stage.
That's it. In life, whenever you achieve your dreams, there's always someone trying to knock you down anyway, isn't it? You just have to...
I just find it's, you know, it's remarkable. You know, everyone's trying to say, you know, they want a player's cap, a wages cap. Well, we don't pay a lot of money for our players. They come because they want a hungry player. They want to try and achieve to get into the league. And hopefully we're producing players that can do that. We've got, like I said, we've got an academy. We've got 140 players in our academy. And they can play on our main stadium. And you're taking that away from them. So that, and they can train on the stadium pitch. Where do they go if we can't have that? And I just think, you know, for a club that's trying to do the things the right way and have a foundation so they can, you know, sustain the league, sustain the conference and to then try and do better. To have that taken away or someone say, no, you can't do it, and yet you can play a European league in it, a World Cup qualifier, a European qualifier, Scottish Premier play in it, and you just think, you know, at what stage is the League Two going to say, yeah, let's do it?
And it's like you say, you know, Jerry and the other guys on your board there, they have come in and reinvigorate the football club, but not by just putting their hands in their pocket, but making it a self-sustaining model. So you would get to that self-sustaining model, and then, you know, you'd have to start again.
Absolutely. You know, we haven't got a money man that comes in and can just throw money at it and say, right, okay, clear that revenue that's coming in. I'll sustain that. You'd lose it, and then we've got to find somewhere else to, you know, generate this money. The board and the directors, Jerry the chairman, have been absolutely fantastic. There's an energy around the place that wasn't there two or three years ago before this pitch was there. You had a hardcore supporters that have been absolutely brilliant, but now you're introducing new supporters because their children might be playing on the pitch. So all of a sudden, it's not just Bromley, you know, youth they're going to watch. They're coming in and now wanting to watch the first team, because they're training on the pitch that the first team are playing on. So it brings the whole club closer together, which is surely what every club wants to be doing. You know, the first team players are training right alongside our soccer camps. So the guys that, you know, the young girls and boys that are coming to our soccer camps can see where the first team are training. Mm. So surely that brings them closer to the players. And at the moment, there's this big bubble where the football players seem to be in the bubble, and they're away from the supporters. Well, not a Bromley Football Club. You can come down at any day and come and watch the training. It's an always open session. We don't have to have open sessions because you can just come in and have a watch.
Swampy.
You know, we want to be accessible to the supporters, the kids, because we want to make this club a family club. We don't want it to just be players and the supporters in two different directions. Everybody's in it together. So I don't have a squad of 18. I know I said it, but my squad's also my academy because I can just call them over when I need them because they're on the pitch next door.
Neil, a quick one. I think everything you've said there is, I mean, you know, if anyone from the FA is listening or any bodies that are listening in regards to if you do get promoted, I think everything you've said there is exactly the reason why you should be promoted because, you know, financially, the club's sustainable. You've got 140 kids coming through working with you. If you get for that goes, you've got you completely the club's lost again. But a quick question in relation, I was at a game the other night on a 3G pitch, and it was Hyde United's, and their pitch is absolutely outstanding. What kind of quality of 3G pitch have you got? Have you got the brand new generation?
We've got the brand new one, the FIFA regulated one. So it's gone through all the tests. It's got to be up to a standard that if England needed a game to play on, they could play on it.
Yeah, so it's
we've got the best one.
I've been saying on the last couple of seasons on this show, over the last 3 or 4 years, being not a fan of it, but seeing the last two seasons, the way Hyde United's pitch has worked, outstanding. It's there's no difference really.
If someone said you're the only team that's going to play on it, you don't need an academy, you don't need, it's going to be grass, of course, make it grass.
Yes, yes.
But the fact that we share a ground with Cray Wanderers. Cray Wanderers need a stadium and a pitch. We can offer that. If that was a grass pitch like it has been for the last few years, by February, these games would be called off. So then all of a sudden, the revenue that we get for home games, we know the home games are going to be on. So we can have a revenue, know it's coming in, rather than, oh, look, the game's been called off. We've now got to find another fixture. Tuesday night, looking at February, March, bad weather. You know, the weather that's coming in the next few weeks is going to be freezing. It's going to be too hard. We don't have that problem anymore. We know the games are going to be on. So we can sort of plan for the future.
Of course, yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I we'd all love grass pitches like you do in the Premier League, you know, but even there, I think 80-20 or 60-40 with an artificial, you know, grass.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
And weaved into the roots. So we've got to do the next best thing that we can do. We can't spend that on a pitch every year. We've got a 3G pitch. It's going to be it's a fantastic surface. It's a lot better than the artificial pitches in the old days. And you know, when I played on them at QBR, Blackpool and places like that, these are up to date. These are the best you can get. And at some stage, I don't get what the problem is. If they're saying it's home advantage, if you let it League Two have it, I guarantee you within the next couple of years, you'll have more on the 3G than you will on grass.
And they all train, and everyone trains on 3G throughout the week anyway. So every player is used to it nowadays. So, you know, I think there's only pretty goalkeepers that are the only ones that probably still don't quite like it as much as grass. But apart from that, it's a level playing field nowadays.
100%. And we've had, you know, Millwall might say, oh, our training ground's a bit rock hard. Can we come up and use it? They don't use it every week, but we'll lend it to Millwall. You know, the Palace ladies come up, and Palace have used it. And I just think at some stage, I'm not saying the Premiership and the Championship, but lower divisions, I think it'll bring them a revenue that every club needs now. They've got to be a little bit, you know, a little bit more imaginative about making money for the club. And I think it's a fantastic way. It brings, like I've said, the community into that club as well.
Totally agree.
Well, on that sales tool for 3G pitches,
I get 10%. I think.
Well, as ever, Neil, it's been fantastic. It's been fantastic talking to you. Going back to the weekend, yeah, we'll be. As Swampy said, it is the tie of the round in our eyes. So we wish you well with that, but also wish you well with getting into those playoffs. Because I just like other people to have difficult decisions to make. That's always good.
Yes.
Yeah, no. I'm normally the ones with the difficult decisions. But, honestly, guys, thanks for your support. And I know, you know, there's a lot of people probably writing headlines already that they want to see, but we've got to make sure that we write the right ones on Saturday.
I'm just thinking, is this competition, if it's good as it is, and it's a great competition to be in, and it's a great competition well worthy of winning, going to Wembley and all the rest of it. Workington, actually, when they had to play that replay, had to play on a Tuesday. Had to go from Workington to Bromley on a Tuesday, and also then had half the team missing because they couldn't get time off work. Surely, for me, it's time for replays to be played on Saturday, give it a week and then play it on the Saturday rather than play, or common sense prevailing when you've got teams that are travelling so far distances with very short amount of time to get time off work. Workington, who were playoff contenders this season, a 7-1 drubbing is something that was pretty hard for them to take. And I think the FA needs to look at it a little bit more going forward.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have 80 to 120 milligrams of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating US Wendy's.
Okay, so we've mentioned three of this weekend's FA Trophy quarterfinals. So what about the fourth? Stockport County, the Conference North, take on Brackley Town from the same division in that one. And joining us on the line to tell us about his preparations is Stockport manager Jim Gannon. Good evening, Jim.
Good evening.
Now, a big game for all of you involved with Wembley in your sights. We spoke just a minute ago to Neil Smith at Bromley about this being maybe a welcome distraction from the league at the moment. I mean, how do you see it?
Yeah, we were disappointed on Tuesday night after a couple of recent good wins in the league. So Tuesday night was really disappointing. That's put a bit of a dampener on this week, but I'm sure that'll be all forgotten about when Saturday comes round.
And does it? I know you're fairly meticulous in your preparations. Does it help playing a club in your own division? Does that make all your preparations a bit easier?
Yes and no. I mean, obviously, we've played Brackley a few times. But they'll know us very well as well. Sometimes it's nice to play a team from outside your division. You do your homework on them and hope that you have the element of surprise on them because they don't do the same homework. But we know Brackley's as tough a game as you're going to get. It's nice to play a team at our own level and it's nice to be at home. But I don't think this game is any less competitive than playing away from home or any other team from above, because Brackley are a very good side.
And is it nice to have that home draw, though? Does that sort of give you a positive advantage in the minds of the players?
Possibly, especially when you've had a tough week, when you've obviously played on a Saturday and a Tuesday. It's nice to have when you look at some of the ties, I think the last round and this round has sprung up some really difficult north-south games. And when they go to a replay on a Tuesday night, it's even more extreme for some of the sides involved in the last round. So, it could have been a lot tougher to draw in terms of physically having to travel. It's nice to be at home, and it's nice. Obviously, we're at a stage now where there's a little bit more interest in the competition, and I think some of our fans don't realise this is our eighth game in the FA Trophy this season.
Yeah. Swampy, I think you got a question.
Yeah, Jim, good evening to you. The running actually to these games, let's not forget you've been in some very, very big clubs along the way to get to this quarter final. And, obviously, as an FC commentator, we've come up against you on a fair few occasions this season. You're a football club with huge history. You're a huge part of that history. How do you cope with the responsibility of taking Stockport County further and further year on year, when the expectation from yourself, obviously, as a real professional is there, but equally the supporters, their demands of wanting, obviously, to be a football league club again. How do you cope with that on a day-to-day basis, and what's your motivation continuing? I think this is your third spell now at Stockport County.
It's a very difficult question to answer in a few minutes, but I'm trying to build a good team that can be competitive for this level, but we're also conscious that in many ways we've got to professionalise the club and move the club back from part-time to full-time. We've made improvements this year in terms of the extra training, the type of profile of player that we're looking to bring in, that can train more. And also Alan Law's done some tremendous work behind the scenes in terms of building the academy up. So we're starting to get young pros from the academy. And we're moving slowly but surely towards a full-time structure of the club. And I do believe that you know, over the next couple of years, it's going to be extremely hard for a part-time side to get out of the Conference North, and it's going to be extremely difficult for a part-time side to stay in the National. So if we've got any ambitions to get back to the Football League, we're going to have to do a lot of work, both on the pitch and off the pitch, over the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years to get anywhere close enough to being a professional full-time club equipped to go to the league again.
And in that respect, I take it you have the, obviously, I know you're very close with the board, you're always talking to the board. There's that partnership for you to be there for the long haul, to take the club back to where, you know, you once were, you as a player, and the fans can go along that on that journey, because it's a tough one, isn't it? It's a very tough division, and I think you're right in saying being part-time is so difficult nowadays in this standard of football.
Yeah, well, I mean, it seems to be every week that we're playing full-time sides. I mean, obviously, we've had Salford, Kidderminster, Harrogate, Nuneaton the other night. We've had a lot of full-time sides, and it's very difficult to compete on that because it's not a level playing field. I mean, from my perspective, at the moment, I'm trying to help the club make that transition, because if we stay as a part-time side, we'll not make any progress. Even if we were to do a Halifax or a Guiseley or a Chester and get promoted, you only have to look at where they are in the National League to say that it could be the end of the manager's career within 6 months, and the club could go backwards. If you look at Altrincham and Telford and Hyde in recent years, have been relegated and been relegated again, or close to being relegated. So we have to be conscious that we've got to what success looks like, and that's basically just trying to make as much progress as we can off the pitch. I don't have any special place at this club apart from the history I have. I'm like any manager who's got to be do the business short term. But I am also conscious that in the past, any success we've had has all been about doing the business short term, but also building medium term to grow the club into a position where it can sustain its success. And that's the real challenge at this club.
And looking at the, you know, trying to change that model, Jim, do you have a, is there a difficulty with the mindset of players? Because we often hear about, you know, non-leaguers getting snapped up by pro clubs and then, you know, struggling to make that adjustment. Do you have less players maybe to select from, or you are selecting from people that have been rejected by the academy? If you're looking for that sort of mindset to change, become more professional.
I don't know. It's very hard to, you know, it's not black and white. I mean, I've seen some very professional part-time players and some very unprofessional full-time players. I think we've got a lot of players here that have the ability and the mentality to go full-time from a part-time position. Some of them have played at pro clubs, fallen into non-league and want to go back there. You know, Adam Thomas, Jimmy Ball, Sam Minham have all come from that environment. We've got other very young players who've come from different backgrounds, like Scott Duxbury, all trying to work really hard. But what we're trying to do at the moment, this season and next season, is try to make a transition to full-time football that allows us to hold on to our best quality part-time players. Because, you know, I love watching Matty Warburton every week, and he's one of our best players. And what one of the things about changing to full-time is you lose some top-quality players like Matty. So, but over the course of the next 6, 12 and 18 months, we've got to find a way of making all these players full-time, get more training with them, and improve the squad with players that we can work with more closely, get them fitter and stronger and better prepared for Saturday, Tuesday. And I think you've seen the success it's brought forward last year, and that's a model that's been closely followed by Salford and Harrogate this year, who are equipped not just to go up, but also to stay up. And that's the real challenge for us as a club, is to, without their financial resources, is to grow the club in a fashion that means that we can be very, very competitive as a full-time side and keep moving forward. And that's a huge challenge in what's becoming an increasingly competitive and professional environment, both in the National and the National North.
Jim, obviously, your game last week, on a heavy pitch, you played against FC on a heavy pitch equally, and it's this time of the season where the demands on players come thick and fast. We've been talking tonight to managers that have currently either got 3G pitches, and I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on the new generation of 3G pitches, because I know you're very much a person who likes the new modern technologies within football and want football to be played in a certain way. Do you think that's going to be an attribute to clubs, or do you think we should stick down the grassroots?
That's going to be a difficult one for us as a club, because obviously that would, in some regards, make some of our fans feel it's a step backwards to a non-league thing when they have aspirations to be in the league. But I think when you look at the improvements it's done to clubs like Tamworth, it's allowed the Harrogate to go full-time. People won't remember my experience at Dundalk. Dundalk were one of the first sides to bring an Astro in, and it was a unique experience for me to play 35 games away from home one season in a row. But ultimately, what it did for Dundalk, it cut costs, it improved income, and 4 or 5 years later, they're challenging for they won the league, and they're challenging for Europe and the league stages of that. And I think that we only have to look at the teams that are in this division and the division above and saying that it certainly enhanced their ability. The pitches are heavy at this stage of the year, and you know, with games getting called off, we're starting to play games Saturday, Tuesday. It's an expensive bit of real estate to keep, to only use for 2 hours every fortnight, and that's the challenge for a lot of clubs. But we all love football to be played on grass, but the grass has to be good enough. I'd hate to go back to the days when we used to play Oldham and Preston on what was effectively hockey pitches. We got grass burns, but the new technology now is fantastic, not just for pros, but also for the younger players at our academy, because at the moment they've been starved of football because there's not enough facilities and enough opportunity to play on top quality 3G, 4G pitches. So I'm a big fan of it, especially with us having a growing academy. If Edgeley Park was an Astro pitch, then we'd have our academy based here. We'd have the freedom to train as often as we want. And that really, forget about whether you need a grass pitch for a league. The real challenge for us is to grow the club in a fashion that allows this football club to be more and more competitive, this division and the next division. And an artificial pitch might be one of those big factors.
Yeah. And lastly from myself, this season, obviously, it's been an up-and-down season to a degree, but you've got you hit a really good rich vein of form. Is it critical to get into those playoffs and challenge for promotion this season? Or if you finish just outside them, is that plan to continue moving the club forward going to be sufficient?
Well, again, I mean, you'll have all sorts of views within the stands that outside the playoffs, especially with them being 17s, is a failure for a club like Stockport. But again, from our perspective, it's just that what we have to do is just get the best out of our players and maximise our budget. You know, we won't know to the end of the season whether we feel that we've underachieved. I felt disappointed at the end of last season because I thought the squad was good enough and had the resources to be in the playoffs, and we missed out with a number of draws at the end of the season. We need to start winning games and win them quickly. And I think we'd all be disappointed if we finish outside the top seven this year, regardless of what happens in the FA Trophy. You know, the two teams that won the FA Trophy the last 2 years have got relegated. So we need to make sure that if we are going to challenge for the FA Trophy, that it doesn't take away from what we want to achieve. Because ultimately, as I said, after our exit to FC United in the FA Cup, that we don't get judged on what we do in the FA Cup. We get judged on what we do in the league. And that's ultimately what I'll be judged on, is the progress I make with the team in terms of our standings in the National North. But I think we both understand that we are trying to grow the club, and that what we don't want to do is make any decisions that, you know, that there's a change of culture and a whole change of personnel and do anything dramatic. We just got to keep building. And that just, like I said, just taking one game at a time and just making sure that we're very competitive on Saturday, and then just get a good run of form and momentum in the league, and then we'll see where we stand at the end of the season. It's you know, obviously my position is judged by other people ultimately, but I'll just be working extremely hard to the club to make sure that we're as successful as we can be.
And I don't think anybody could criticise you of not working hard, Jim. You are one of the hardest working managers around, so you certainly deserve some rewards for that. We wish you well at the weekend. It's becoming the crunch point, and you know, people can see Wembley on the horizon. And as you say, hopefully it'll bring in a few fans as well that maybe haven't realised how well you've been doing in the trophy so far this season, and bring those out. I think the sun's going to be shining. They might need to wrap up quite warm, but hopefully it'll bring a few fans out.
Look, We had, I mean, it wasn't the biggest crowd against Maidenhead, but it was a fantastic crowd. I mean, the atmosphere in the game, and it was one of them games where every emotion was felt in the game. We played some great football first half, went behind, came back, dramatic goals, sending off, winning goals and holding on. We had every emotion, and that's what football is about. So those fans that have kind of got the Southport away and, Maidenhead at home and Kidderminster at home, they've seen some great football this season. So it's a real plus to this season, is the FA Trophy. Myself and Peter Ward played in every game at Wembley and managed at Wembley. So for me, it wouldn't be a unique experience. But for some of these lads, it's a real tangible opportunity to go to a special place to play a special game of football. So, and we continue on that journey. And if we get a positive result on Saturday, then we're only one round from Wembley. So we're in a great position. And I think that naturally will bring its own energy and adrenaline excitement. So I'm looking forward to Saturday in that regard.
Swampy, another manager, meticulous in his preparations and certainly knows where he wants to go, and it's just trying to bring everybody else at the club along with him, isn't it?
It certainly is. I listen to Jim interviews every single week. He's a controversial character to some. He talks openly. He's quite honest. And he's meticulous, as we've said already, in everything that he does. And he wants to take to Stockport County to where he believes, and I think the supporters believe they not necessarily should be, because otherwise they're divine right, but where they want to be. You know, they're an old league football club. You know, let's not forget they beat Sir Manchester City a number of years ago, which is a few years ago now, but in our lifetime, they played at Wembley as a football club. So a lot of the supporters will be hankering back to getting back into the Football League. And is Jim the man to do it? Well, this is his third visit back to Edgeley Park. I think he's got a resolute board now. I think they understand moving forward what they need to do as a football club. They've had trials and tribulations with owners and with Sale Sharks playing there. There has been talk, although Stockport Council came out a couple of days ago stating that at this moment in time there is no further information in regards to whether the Sale Sharks are considering or approaching Stockport County to come back. If they do, 3G pitch would definitely be needed, because there's no way you can play rugby and football on a pitch. We've seen that with Rochdale, didn't we? But no, I think Jim's he's a thinker of the game. He really is. He's got his own ideas, his own thoughts. He likes to play the game in the right way. He talks about Matty Warburton. I scouted Matty Warburton about five seasons ago when he was playing in the Northwest Counties. He scored 30 goals, and I wanted to bring him to FC United of Manchester, but unfortunately he went via Curzon and Ashton, and then Stockport County picked him up, and he's outstanding. But again, the problem he's going to have is if they do go full-time, you lose a lot of very, very good footballers, because the teachers or the paramedics or whatever they may be, They can't afford to, give it up for a couple of seasons. It's very different to going through as a youngster to opposed to teams going and becoming professional and full-time. Lot to do at Stockport County, but perhaps the right man's there in charge at this moment in time. It'll be an interesting game on Saturday, and it'll be a good game of football. The game against Maidenhead, I've got to say, it was the most one-sided 2-0. They were down to 2-0. And you watch the highlights package from both clubs, because they both sent them out, you would never have guessed Stockport County were going to be 2-0 down. And they came back and deservedly won that. And they beat Kidderminster and Southport. Big scouts. So perhaps Stockport County's name may well be on the cup. You never know this season, because they've come across some big teams. But a big game against Brackley, who are currently third in the Conference North. So National North. And they are a good outfit. Very steady, very hardworking. But Jim, I know what to expect.
OK, so it's not just the FA Trophy into the quarterfinals this weekend, it's also the FA Vars too. Melksham Town entertain Thatcham Town, Stockton Town welcome Windsor, and Leighton Town host 1874 Northwich. But our focus is on Hellenic League as Bracknell Town. In what is possibly the biggest game in the club's history, they await the visit of Mask United. And joining us on the line to tell us more is the Bracknell boss, Jeff Lamb. Good evening, Jeff.
Hello there, Tim. You okay?
Yeah, I think the last time we spoke to you, Jeff, was that was an FA Vars run as well during your time at Ascot United. Yeah, what does a run in this competition do for a club like yours?
It's massive. I mean, it's momentum. It's the club, you know, moving forward and working together and putting the club on the map, really.
Yeah, and at Ascot, you had quite a young side that grew together. What's the average age like at Bracknell this season?
We do have some experienced players who have played in the semi-finals of ours, and obviously there's four or five of the lads that we had at Ascot that are with us. So, you know, they are an experienced outfit. We've also got a few of the younger boys. So you're looking at probably an average age of about 24, 25.
Yeah, and you're playing Mask United. I mean, what can you tell our listeners that might not have even come across Mask before?
It's a tough league that they're in. You know, when we were with Ascot, we went up to Shildon. So we know what we're facing. We know it's a good, very strong league. And obviously, a lot over the years, a lot of the teams from the Northern Division have ended up at Wembley for the final. So, you know, we're under no illusion. We know it's going to be a tough game.
Yeah, we quite often mention that the northeast of England being the hotbed of football, but you know, the North Yorkshire's not too bad either at the moment. Now, we've spoken this evening. We've spoken to the Bromley manager Neil Smith. They're on the cusp of maybe getting in the playoffs to go into the Football League. Yeah, we've just spoken to Jim Gannon at Stockport County, a former Football League side, and that. Now, you've got a very ambitious chairman where you are as well, aren't you? You're step five in that Hellenic League, but your chairman has got proper aspirations to take the club further.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got the job around September last year, and, you know, the chairman sells it to you. He tells you what his plans are and how far they want to go as a club, and you can only get a buzz from it because, the chairman is so behind what he wants to do, and you can only take it in your stride, you know?
Yeah, and we quite often hear about, you know, chairman having big ideas, they want to do this, they want to do that, but, I mean, already, you know, where you are at Larges Lane, it's already, you know, it's in good nick, it's been refurbished recently, isn't it, various bits and pieces, but already he's thinking about this other development on the potential way as well, isn't it, next door with the school. Does he see something about 2 3G pitches, one for football, one for rugby? Yeah, I mean, that's thinking beyond the box and even further out as well, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, I don't know how far, you know, in the stages we are and when that's going to be, but certainly the plans are all in place, and the chairman's, you know, we've sat down with the chairman, he's told us what the dream is, and it's a magnificent project and something that, you know, we all want to be part of. And something like the Vars is making people stand up and take notice of Bracknell Football Club.
Well, that's it. You'll attract some more people from the local area that, you know you're there, but have never really sort of made the effort. It is a big game for the town, really, as well, isn't it?
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, if you go to some of the local restaurants and you go to some of the pubs, you know, people are talking about it, and you're hoping that on Saturday, you know, people that come to watch normally, they bring a friend, you know, and then they continue coming to watch after Saturday's match, and they stick with you for the remainder of the season, and it goes on to next season. That's how it grows.
Yeah. So you're currently fifth in the Hellenic Premier. You've got games in hand, you know, but it's step five. This is the season where there's potentially more chance to go up. But do you think you're too far adrift to achieve that promotion this year?
Not at all, no, not at all. You know, Grotz and I come on board with promotion as the key, as the ultimate. And, you know, as I say, with the Vars, it does give you momentum. Yes, we are behind in the league games, but the momentum of the Vars will keep you going, you know, and the lads are still believing that we're going to go up, and that's our aim. That is our aim.
So you think, like, you know, victories in the Vars, it gels everybody together, doesn't it? It boosts that morale, and that will help you snowball towards it in the league as well.
Yeah, that's it. And it puts belief in the players, and it puts belief in the club and the town. And before you know it, everyone's on that roller coaster. You know, you just got to keep it going. And at the end of the season, hopefully, we can say, you know, we've got promoted and we're in the Vars final. So, you know, there's so much to play for at the moment.
So there's no holiday's been booked for straight after the season. Then you're holding out for the finals and that trip to Wembley.
Yeah, absolutely. Nothing's been booked. Well, I hope not. Anyway, they haven't told me if it's booked. But listen, if any of them drop out, then I'll gladly put the boots back on and have a go.
I was going to say, I'm sure you and Paul could still do a turn somewhere. You know, Wembley's a big pitch.
We like to think we could, but you can't.
But the mind's willing, maybe not the legs. Yeah, I know
absolutely.
The feeling. I know the feeling.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's been great to have you back on, Jeff, because it's always nice to people that are properly involved in their clubs, and I know you sort of live and breathe football when you're involved in it. So we wish you well at the weekend, and I'll be looking out, seeing how you're getting on with those games in hand as well, and hopefully pop down at some point and come and see you.
No, thanks ever so much. No, I really appreciate that, and you know, Paul and Derek do also. Can I just also obviously you know, wish Windsor and wish Thatcham the best of luck as well.
We do mention that hotbed up in the northeast, but the Hellenic League's not doing too badly this season at all, is it, in the Vars?
No, it's great. It's great to have us three representing the league, you know, and hopefully after Saturday, you know, we can all ring each other and you know, and say, well done, you're through, let's on to the next round. So, no, wishing the best. You know, it's nice to have three clubs in Hellenic. It's great for all of us.
And when you've got those two-legged semi-finals, it's probably a bit easier to do a nice local trip as well, isn't it?
It'll be nice. I mean, don't get me wrong, the hotel stays and all that are nice and part of the Vars, but it'd be lovely to have a local derby just to get a nice big crowd going.
Good stuff. Well, best of luck at the weekend, and speak to you soon, Jeff.
Thanks very much. Take care.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you once again, Swampy.
You're very welcome, and I'll hopefully be back next week firing all cylinders. I'm looking forward to some good games this weekend.
Hopefully we'll have a full complement one week. Who knows? Thanks to all our guests and, of course, to everybody for listening. Don't forget you can find us throughout the season on Audio Boom, also on iTunes, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, and you can put the podcast on your own website by checking out the embeddable player at www.nottingleaguefootballshow.com, where you can grab that embeddable player. I'll say thank you and good night.
BABBA.